So with that said, I will invite you to open your Bible to Philippians chapter 3. It's on page 1350. And I'll read the scripture in a moment. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, send your Spirit now so that your truth that is concealed within your word might be revealed to our hearts, and that we might, in your sacred page, see the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might live for him only, love him, grow in our knowledge of him, and become more and more well-pleasing to you in every way, body, soul, and spirit. Lord God, I ask that you would grant this request through the study of your word this morning. I pray in Jesus, amen. Okay, so have your Bible open to that page, 1350. I want to one more time consider the same excellent passage from Philippians 3 that we've been looking at in detail for the last few weeks, in which Paul describes the total change of way of life that happened with him from the day that Jesus Christ laid hold of him. Okay, now Paul, of course, is talking about his own experience, but plainly his desire and implication here is that every Christian ought to pursue an ever-increasing knowledge of Jesus Christ the same way that he does. Run the race that is set out before you with perseverance and with purpose. Gain Christ. Right? I want to win Christ. I reach forward. I strain. I strive for the prize. And as I said to you last week, you don't reach the goal by sitting still. Okay, now obviously with Paul, there are ways that his personal experience was unique, but that is beside the point. Okay, being personally confronted on the road to Damascus by the Lord Jesus, being spoken to audibly, being appointed Christ's own ambassador, yes, in that sense, Paul's experience is unique. But the subject under discussion here in Philippians 3 is not a person's actual point of conversion. The subject here is the continual way of life after that point of conversion. Now that Christ has laid hold of me, what shall I do? Okay, do I rest on that experience and live as though it's all in the bag, it's all taken care of? Okay, I made my transaction with God and that's all that matters. No, no, I embark on the way. Okay, I press forward on the way, desiring real fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, desiring to share in his life, to share even with his sufferings, to share in his overcoming power, and ultimately someday to share in his glory. Okay, that applies to every Christian, not just Paul. Okay, he says, I this and I that, but then he says, let as many of us as are mature have this same mind. Okay, he says, brothers, join in following my example. Right, you got that? Remember what the reason for this passage was, that if you rewind to the beginning of chapter 3, certain teachers are coming around and will be coming around to you Philippians, telling you that your salvation depends on, in fact requires, certain identity markers that God laid forth in the law, such as circumcision, keeping your days, minding your P's and Q's as far as cleanness and what you eat. Okay, these are things that God put in the law of Moses to identify people as his people. Okay, and I told you back a couple of weeks ago that the word that's used for that is to Judaize. Okay, to Judaize means to compel Gentiles to follow and adopt Jewish customs from out of the law as being a necessary part of following the Messiah. Judaizers is the word. And in fact, the word does appear one time in the scriptures. And I will tell you that it's in Galatians chapter 2, and there's a scene in which Paul is recalling an incident, an earlier incident with Peter, where Peter had been visiting Paul and the Gentile church up in Antioch. And Peter had been there for a while. He was very comfortable with the Gentiles. He was perfectly at ease with them. He had left aside his Jewish, you know, the way, the table manners and all sorts of things. Remember, Peter has been through the whole Cornelius experience, right? He saw these Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit without any such observations of the law. Okay, he knows in his heart God accepts Gentiles on the basis alone of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so he's there in the Gentile church in Antioch. Then some Jewish brothers come up to visit from Jerusalem, and Peter feels the peer pressure from them and their scruples, stops eating with the Gentile brothers, fearing that the Jewish brothers are going to criticize him for eating with Gentiles. Okay, and so he stops eating with them, and not just he, but other Jewish believers there in Antioch follow suit, and they also withdraw from the Gentile brothers and will not eat with them, which Paul calls out immediately and says, Peter, you're playing the hypocrite. Okay, that is destructive to the gospel message. It's actually an attack on the gospel. Peter, you know full well, a man is not justified by things like what you eat. And in fact, you yourself have been living as a Gentile now for some time in this regard, until these guys came, and now you're going to force these Gentile brothers to Judaize. Okay, that's the occurrence of the word in the scriptures. It's Galatians 2:14, if you want to look it up. And you'll see that Paul tells Peter, you're not being straight about the truth of the gospel. Okay, so as I've said a couple of times now, this is a major concern of Paul's throughout most of his letters. And why is that? Well, he's the apostle to Gentiles. It's very important that he establish and defend what the gospel actually is. Is it Christ alone and faith in him alone? Or is it Christ plus Jewish customs from out of the law? Okay, so in Galatians he says, if a man can be justified by the works from the law, then Christ died for no reason. Okay, which is what you would do. To turn back to the works of the law is to separate yourself from grace, right? He says, don't set aside the grace of God, and you would be doing that if you let the Judaizers convince you, my brother Galatians and Philippians, okay? To the Philippians, he says, rejoice in the Lord Jesus alone, and beware of wolves in sheep's clothing coming with this Judaizing teaching, okay? They're evildoers, he calls them, because their way detracts from the gospel. Okay, it detracts from the sufficiency, the complete sufficiency of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we've gone through all of this in chapter 3. Paul is insisting Christ is all. He has to be all. And to know Christ, to have him for a companion and a friend and a guide, is far, far superior to making your life about these kind of religious exercises and rules. And it's so far superior that the other thing is like scraps. It's like rubbish, okay? It's meaningless and insignificant. Brothers, pursue the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is better. Christ's overcoming power is better than anything you could ever do. Christ's righteousness is better than any righteousness that you could ever pile together. Okay, so one more time, I want you to look at the text. I'm going to start in verse 8, actually. I want to give you these verses again. What I want you to listen for today is what Paul has to say about the relationship of the past to the present. Okay? Listen for what Paul says about the relationship of the past to the present for the Christian, for a man who once was not, but now is in Christ. Okay? So verse 8 is after Paul has enumerated all his former qualifications and advances in Judaism, which is what these other teachers are on about and what they're insistent upon. Here he tells us that what all that means to him now in the present. Okay, so Philippians 3:8. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss compared to the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Okay, for the greatness of knowing Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God, through faith or by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, even being conformed to his death, if by some means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not yet count myself to have laid hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, he's talking about I, but then he says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, or only, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. All right. So let's think about the relationship between the past and the present for the Christian. Okay, so I want to divide that into two categories, which I'll just loosely call credits and debits. And the credits I also want to divide into two categories. So the key verse is verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So here I am in the present. Paul is saying that my life in the present ought to be forward-looking, not backward-looking. Okay, Christ has laid hold of me, which, yes, that's a past event. But what Christ did at that point was to set a goal in front of me, right? To set a destiny or a prize in front of me. He called me, and that call remains upon me in the present. Okay, but that call is toward the future, right? The upward call, he says, that I may attain, right? That I may receive. I press forward toward the goal. So regarding things that are past, what shall be my attitude? All right, you know the saying that goes something like, I am not yet what I will be, but praise God, I am not what I once was. So I want to first talk about the credits of my past. Okay, and like I said, I'm going to divide that into two categories. The first category would be the main idea that's in Philippians 3, 4 through 7. Things I thought were to my credit. Okay, things like being a full-blooded Israelite, being a member of the denomination of the Pharisees, being spotless as far as keeping the customs from out of the law, being active, as I thought anyway, for God's sake, being active in rooting out what I then saw as heresy. That's all trash now. Okay, Paul said that. I thought it was to my credit. Now I realize that I was only puffing myself up. I realize I was deluding myself into thinking myself as righteous when what I was really doing was being proud of myself. I have left behind all of that as a basis for any kind of credit or merit in God's sight, and I don't rely on any of it in the slightest. Okay, the prophet Isaiah said, all our righteousnesses are rags. Right, they're like filthy rags in thy sight. What is man, after all, that he could be righteous before God, that he could expect God to receive him favorably? The most righteous man in the world is but a worm. Okay, the most righteous man in the world is infected and polluted. Isaiah says, our iniquities sweep us away like the wind. Okay, our iniquities sweep us away. In the past, I thought I had something. I thought I was somebody worthy because of my upbringing, because of my history of study, because of my record of attendance, and so on. Okay, that concept you can pretty straightforwardly transfer to any given person. Okay, I'm not one of those pagan outsiders. My parents brought me up in church all my life. I learned about God in the Bible, not like some people. Our family never went shopping on Sundays. I went to youth group. When I was growing up, we had prayer in schools, things like that. America is a Christian country, and I'm proud to be a red-blooded American. Okay, these are exactly the same categories that Paul is lining up here that to him used to be sources of pride. Okay, now is there advantage in any of those things? Yes. Okay, sure. There's value. But that is not a substitute for righteousness. Okay, and in fact, they're quite measly in comparison to the truth that our iniquities sweep us away like the wind. Okay, what is man who drinks iniquity like water that he could be righteous before God. Okay, so Paul says, that was my past. It's rubbish to me now to be found in Christ, right? To be clothed in his righteousness alone, not my filthy rags, but the glorious righteousness of the Lord Jesus, not in my prideful, polluted attempts to be a good person, be a godly person. Okay, my dad would use the phrase, that's a hill of beans, right? That amounts to a hill of beans. Okay, whenever you hear somebody talking about themselves as if they deserve a certain amount of credit for being a regular attender, a churchgoer, a Baptist all their life, okay, fill in the blank. Look, my friend, you're just getting in your own way. Okay, you have to get out of your own way and get on the way. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way. Okay, fix your eyes on Jesus instead of on yourself and forget all that's in the past and push on. Okay, that I may know Christ, that I may know the power of his resurrection, okay, I press on to lay hold of the prize. Okay, so that kind of credit is one kind of credit. I would mention another kind, if I can use the word credit. Theologians would chide me for using the word credit, but you'll understand my meaning. There are genuine wins and accomplishments and advances that you have made as a born anew child of God that you can look back on and be glad that you did them, right? I mean, ways that God grew you or ways that God used you to be a blessing, right? You thank God I am not what I once was, right? I have made some progress in the Christian life, okay? Sometimes it's good to look back down. We've come so far, right? We've gained such ground, okay? Thank God I have had some victories over sin. Okay, there have been occasions where I resisted the devil and he fled from me. Thank God he has used me to bless a brother who was spiritually struggling. Do you understand the things I'm getting at, right? God has, you do know Christ better than you used to, right? Okay, pilgrims do make progress. Okay, I have known the presence of the Lord Jesus and received his comfort. I have overcome sin to some extent, okay? And I dare say there are people who are thankful for me, okay? I remember the kind of Christian I was when I was 17, and I tell you I would not trade anything to go back to being 17, okay? So pilgrims do make progress, and you don't always need to feel like you're at the bottom of the mountain looking at how so very far you still have to go. Okay, those advances and victories that you've made since being born again, they're not rubbish. Okay, they're not meaningless and trash. That's actual spiritual progress. However, that can't be where I live. Okay, so in a sense, I do need to forget those things also and keep my eyes fixed forward. Okay, you don't rest on your laurels. Like I said before, you don't run half the race and say, well, I ran the race, you know, there I made it. So Paul will say in Galatians, don't grow weary in doing good. Okay, don't grow weary in well-doing. Keep on planting, keep on pruning. In due time, we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. So take him as an example. He accomplished so much. But still at this point in life, where he's been by now serving Jesus for about 30 years, he's still saying, I want to know Christ. Okay, I don't count myself as yet having laid hold of the prize. Now, he could have sat reminiscing about all of the things he's been through, the troubles he's overcome, the people he's led to the Lord, what an impact he's made. Okay, wasn't it great when we saved that slave girl from the demon? That was great. Wasn't it thrilling to go to the philosophers in Athens and preach Jesus to them? That was thrilling. Okay, and anybody would say, Paul, you've done plenty. Okay, well, he said in chapter 1 of this letter, if I get out of here, I'm going back to work. Okay, freedom for me means more fruit from more labor. Okay, it means more ministry. He has no dreams at all of riding off into the sunset and saying, well, I'm done now. Okay, to me, to live is Christ, right? Even in chains here, he's still doing as much as he can possibly do, which is writing letters. He's laying plans for what to do next, how he's going to take Jesus, the word of Jesus here or there. Okay, he still has his eyes trained forward, not backward. Every new day is a new day to serve the Lord Jesus and to be a blessing to the saints. Okay, so a little bit closer every day to the joy that was set before me. So there's a song that says, sometimes it's good to look back down. We've come so far, we've gained such ground. But joy is not in where we've been. Joy is who's waiting at the end. Okay, joy is who's waiting at the end. So don't try to live on the progress of the past. Okay, I mean, it's all written in the book, right? The Lord is going to give you proper honor for it when the day comes. But put it behind you, if you take my meaning, and press on higher. Right? Don't grow weary in well-doing. It's not time yet to lay down your sword and shield. Okay, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forward to things that are ahead, the upward call, right? That call is still on you. So having mentioned credits, now I want to talk about the debits. Okay, Paul says, things that were to my credit I have put behind me. Well, I'll say this, put the debits behind you as well. Right? Fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Fix your eyes on what is ahead. So you have your failures, your sins, your errors, wasted opportunities, offenses, quarrels, hard feelings, like these things from the past that tend to cling to a person, like they are very tenacious and they tend to drag you down and hinder you from making progress in the present. Okay, what's the relationship of the past to the present? So you know how it feels to say, I'm so ashamed of what I did. I'm so ashamed of what I did not do. I'm so mad with myself. I dishonored God. I dishonored my family. I dishonored myself. I wasn't the whatever I should have been. I wasn't the son or daughter should have been. I wasn't the parent. I wasn't the spouse. I didn't behave like a Christian should in this situation. I see other people around me who are such better Christians than I am. They made better use of their time, and Look, stop. Okay? Leave that being. The gospel says, the good news says, forget them. Like we talked about last Sunday night, the Lord knows the thoughts of men, right? He knows what's in a man. It's not a surprise to him. Okay? The Bible says he knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. I know your record is not great. Okay? I know you compare yourself to someone else, to what they're like, or, to compare yourself to what you should be or should have been or should have done. I know the shame that you feel for whatever reason. But listen to the gospel. Christ came into the world to save sinners. Right? I came to call sinners, not the righteous. Right? Come, follow me. And we have Paul in 1 Timothy saying, and it's a great passage, and it's a great passage to apply to yourself. He says, I once was a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent man. Nevertheless, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceedingly abundant to me. The Lord showed me mercy so that anyone else who would trust in the Lord Jesus for eternal life might have an example in me of just how great the Lord's mercy is. Okay, his grace is very great. Right? God had mercy on this man. He certainly will have mercy on you with the faith and the love that are in Jesus Christ. Okay, who's going to save me from this body of sin? Praise be to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so John says if we confess our sins, he's faithful. He's just. He'll forgive us our sins. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, let us walk in the light as he is in the light. And you know what happens then? We have fellowship with him. Okay, we have fellowship with God through him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all iniquity, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus himself said, all manner of sin will be forgiven. So don't dwell on the past. Okay, and even today's sins are tomorrow's past, right? Fix your eyes forward. Let the past go, right? Don't look back. Forget the things that are behind. Climb out of that swamp and get back on the way and walk in the light as he is in the light, okay? You know this is the gospel, right? By his stripes, we are healed. Right? He was wounded because of our iniquities. Right? The chastisement was upon him that brings us peace. That's why God sent his son, so that we could have peace with God. Okay, so obviously I'm not suggesting you take a lax attitude towards sin and just sort of coast without any thought about sin as you just sort of skate to the finish line. Okay, shall we continue in sin? No. Okay, you died to sin, don't live in sin. Okay, in fact, Hebrews says that the way to run the race with perseverance is to lay aside sin because it hinders you, right? It entangles you. But I am saying this, God is rich in mercy. Okay, all manner of sin will be forgiven, so don't let the memories and the guilt of the past overcome your trust in Christ's complete sufficiency to bring you into glory. Okay, sinners are exactly who Christ came into the world to save, and that call remains in place. So, saints, always eyes trained forward, okay, always trusting in his grace, Jesus Christ himself, the way, the truth, and the life, and he himself is the prize, that I may know him, right, that I may be his intimate friend. Have this mind, okay? As many of us as are mature, let us share this mind. Christ only, always. Not my righteousness, not my regulations, but the Son of the living God, my friend. Okay, and you've all made some progress. Live up to the progress you've made. Okay, and with this I'll finish. It's verse 15 and 16. Okay, Christ by his Holy Spirit, by his calling, has brought you yea far, however far. Hopefully by studying this chapter in some depth, he has brought you a little farther and given you a clearer understanding of what the new life is and what salvation is. Here's Paul's example. Follow it, right? Follow the same example. Everything that he says here, talking in the first person, I this or I that or I press on, you just substitute your name. Okay, you do the same thing. Okay, everybody starts somewhere. You're not perfect yet. You're not maybe as mature as Paul yet, but if you want to be, you're on the way. Okay, as much as you have attained to, he says, live up to it. Okay, we're not yet perfect. We don't have full understanding. Okay, we each still have some beliefs and some ideas that are not perfectly aligned with the mind of God, but he says God will reveal them to you too with time and some more progress. You know, the Bible says those who honor him, he will honor. Okay, he will admit you into his counsel. Okay, that's something that he tells you. He will, if you want that. Okay, those who are hungry for wisdom, he rewards with wisdom. Those who want to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus, he will grant that to you. Okay, listen to me, and I will teach you wisdom. Come and let us learn together what is good. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Okay, what matters, my friends, is you're on the way. Okay, someday we will know fully, Paul says. Right now we've attained however much. Well, don't look back. Don't fall back. Live up to what you've attained and let us be diligent to live up to what we have gained and let us be of one mind. Thanks be to God for his word. With that, let's pray. Spirit of God, descend upon our hearts. We pray that you would wean us from earth and help us, Lord, to strive for what lies ahead. Lord, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in our hearts that you have raised him from the dead. You have set us on the way to salvation. You have promised good things, great and precious promises. Sanctify your people through your word, Lord. Sanctify us through the movements of your Holy Spirit. Help us to see the truth for what it is fully in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to love him above all and want to please him and know him better. I do praise you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters. Thank you for giving us to each other as companions to grow alongside of and to walk through life with. We are blessed, Lord, to know you and to have you in our midst. So we pray that as we are preparing to depart today, that you would go with us and draw us back together again in Christian fellowship. And Father, again, my prayer is if somebody in the room here has not surrendered to the Lord Jesus and pledged allegiance to walk with him, to follow him, to aspire to gain him, we pray that through your Holy Spirit you would bring that to pass. You have freely offered us eternal life. You have given us the gospel complete in the life of your Son Jesus. We pray that he would be alive and moving in our midst day in and day out, Lord, as we proceed through the rest of our lives. Bless your name, Lord Jesus Christ. May you be exalted forever. Amen. Amen. Good.